Good morning, everyone. I'll call this regular meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. It is Friday, November 3rd, different day than we usually have these, 10:02 a.m. I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of the Commission. With me is Commissioner Brian Krosius and Commissioner Julie Fedorchak. So we have a quorum. And sound a little raspy. I was up at Langdon yesterday to Cavalier Electric Cooperative and attended their annual meeting and a nice turnout and some nice visiting and actually saw snowmobile tracks in the ditches up there. So kind of an ominous warning that winter's on its way. But other than that, I have no opening comments. Commissioner Krosius, do you?
Well, I hope you're feeling better.
I'm actually feeling fine. Just don't sound very good.
That's usually what people say when they're contagious, but I was doing some traveling myself and had the opportunity to go to Boundary Dam 3, which is in Estevan, Saskatchewan, and it's one of the first of its kind. It's a large carbon capture project in Saskatchewan, and just being able to spend some time up there and to talk to our friends to the north was really interesting, to be really honest. They're making some great strides in terms of using lignite and being able to capture the emissions. I believe they said their carbon capture was in that 95 percentile range, and the SO2 was at 100%. So it's a pilot project, so they're still learning a lot, but it was fun to go and see what they're doing and how it might apply to our lignite industry. So that was a really good trip.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
Randy, you said that your voice is hoarse from visiting, but I think you were yelling at cows.
No, I didn't hardly see any. It was that was the disappointing part of the trip.
Oh, I like the image of you out there. You're yelling at cows so much your voice gets hoarse. Anyway, I just wanted to make a couple comments this morning as the temperatures are dropping. I think that everyone is thinking they're turning up their thermostats and kicking in those heaters. And I just have been thinking about energy efficiency a little bit and noting, because I have looked in the latest spotlight on energy, that we in North Dakota use among the highest amount of electricity and energy per capita. And I think a lot of that is because we're a heavy industry state with agriculture and energy production, both of which use a lot of energy. But also I think that we all have pretty low energy prices, and I don't know that we all do as much as we could do ourselves to conserve energy. And so I've done a little bit of digging into what some of the programs are that are available or tools available to utility customers in North Dakota to save some on their energy bills, and I'm actually kind of encouraged by what I found. So Xcel Energy has a audit program that is available for their customers. They have a $30 home walkthrough audit or a $60 standard audit, and those both of them do a comprehensive whole house inspection with a certified energy auditor, where they can walk through and find where you're leaking, where things are, where you're wasting energy, and give you tips for how you can save some energy in your home and reduce your electricity bill. So I thought that was a good thing to mention. Folks and customers of Xcel Energy can get information about that on their website, and they can sign up for the audit on their website as well. And so that's a great tool that I hope some Xcel customers will take advantage of. It's our largest utility. They have the most customers in North Dakota. So that means that a lot of North Dakotans could be taking advantage of that for a fairly modest cost, $30 for the home walkthrough and $60 for the standard audit that has a few more features. Ottertail Power has on their website a pretty cool little device that allows customers to view their energy usage and help create some personal ideas for how they can save some energy, and it's just something you can walk through on their website. They also have energy control rates, which I guess 30 to 50% of the customers in North Dakota are are signed. No, 40% of the customers are signed up for that, and they can save 30% to 50% from the standard rates by signing up for that energy control rate, which is a load control. The company can turn your load down or off for short periods of time, and then it's all done automatically, and they turn it back on when they are off the peak. And so that's a program that you have to sign up for, but again, available to help control your energy costs yourself. And then finally, MDU has a lot of good information on their site on how to just save energy, and it really kind of comes down to four basic things. First is making sure that the facilities you have are operating as efficiently as possible. So the basic stuff, change your filter, get your furnace cleaned so that it operates at its maximum efficiency. The second thing is to turn down your temperature. This is something that some people really hate to do, but on the MDU site, they note that turning your temperature up or down by 1 degree has a 3% effect on your bill for over a 24-hour period. So you can significantly impact your usage and your costs by watching your temperature. They recommend reducing your temperature to 58 degrees if you're going to be out of the house for more than 4 hours. So I think about when I leave in the morning, how much we could be saving over the course of the day where the house is just heating up, and no one's there. So that's a good tool, and you can get those programmable thermostats pretty cheaply at Lowe's, Home Depot. Most stores offer those, and you don't have to think about doing it yourself. Just does it automatically. And then turn the old, my dad's favorite one, I think every dad's favorite one, turn off the lights. And again, turning off the lights has a big impact as well. And appliances, we all have a lot of appliances that are plugged in 24/7 nowadays. Those little Keurig coffee pots are mini water heaters. They're mini hot water heaters. They run all day long, keeping that temperature at a set temp and costing you money. So those things could go off. And so those are a big thing. And then insulating, that's 30% of our heat is lost through the attic. So better insulation, which is going to cost you some money, can make a big difference on your electricity bills. But it also, simple things that you don't cost you any money is just using your drapes and the insulation that you have in your house strategically at night and then opening them up in the day so you get some of the solar warmth during the day. So some simple tips. There's a lot more available on each of the utilities' websites. I encourage folks to go out there and find out what they can do to conserve energy, to be a better steward of the energy they're using, and to save money.
Okay, we'll move to the consent calendar, and we have 8 items on consent plus meeting minutes, and I would move approval.
Second.
We have a motion, a second. Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, Commissioner Crashes.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the commission adopt the order on settlement in Otter Tail Power Company, Advanced Prudence, Astoria Project, application case number PU-17-140, Otter Tail Power Company, Advanced Prudence, Maricourt Project, application case number PU-17-141, and Otter Tail Power Company, 150 megawatt Maricourt Project, Public Convenience and Necessity, case number PU-17-143.
Second.
On April 10th, 2017, Otter Tail Power Company applied to the Commission for an advanced determination of prudence for the Astoria Gas Project, case number PU-17-140. Also on April 10th, 2017, Otter Tail Power filed an application for an ADP for the Maricourt Wind Project, case number PU-17-141. And then finally, on April 10th, 2017, Otter Tail Power filed an application for a certificate of public convenience and necessity for the Maricourt Wind Project, case number PU-17-142. On June 30th, 2017, the Commission issued its Notice of Consolidated Hearings, consolidating the three applications for hearing and scheduling a public hearing to begin October 7th, 2017 at 8:30 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the Commission Hearing Room here at the Capitol. And the issue to be determined in each of those two ADP cases, PU-17-141 and PU-17-141, was whether the proposed resource addition was prudent. The parties to the settlement agree that Astoria Natural Gas Project is reasonable and prudent up to a total capital expenditure cost of $181.5 million, and that the Mericourt Wind Project is reasonable and prudent as well. The parties further agree that Otter Tail Power's ownership and operation of the Mericourt Wind Project satisfies the standards for issuance of a certificate of public convenience and necessity. Otter Tail Power and advocacy staff witnesses testified in support of the settlement agreement. Having considered this matter, the Commission finds the settlement agreement reasonable and acceptable. Excuse me. Therefore, the Commission issues the following. The Commission orders, one, the settlement agreement filed October 2nd, 2017 is approved. A copy of the settlement agreement is attached to the order and made a part of the order and to the Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity. Number 5914 is issued to Otter Tail Power Company for the Mericourt project. And I will just add that we've talked about these particular cases quite a bit, but just as a quick refresher, the Mericourt wind project is 150 megawatts of wind, and then that is partnered with the Astoria gas plant, which is 250 megawatts, and that will be located in Astoria, South Dakota. I did ask the company on several occasions why the gas plant was landing in South Dakota, and the wind project, of course, is in North Dakota, with a preference, of course, to see that the infrastructure for the gas plant was placed within our state. And the reason was because of essentially where the northern border pipeline was, and then also its proximity, very close proximity, to the Big Stone South Brookings County 345 kV electric transmission line. So we were at a disadvantage in terms of having it placed in North Dakota because I believe the pipeline extension to the supply that they would have needed for the plant was approximately 30 miles and would have added approximately $30 million in additional cost to the project. So that is why it didn't occur, but it's something certainly that is worth taking a look at when projects like this come up in the future. And that would, of course, involve the Department of Commerce to get involved. But this one is going to land in South Dakota with the wind project here in North Dakota. But I think something certainly worth considering in the future. And one last point, just again as a reminder, this is replacing the Hoot Lake facility in Fergus Falls, which I believe will be decommissioned in 2021.
Here we have a motion, a second. Is there further discussion?
Well, this was an interesting hearing, even though there was a settlement. So the parties had agreed to the prudency of this project and the certificate of public need and public necessity, convenience and necessity. So what was interesting about this is it's an example of the retirement of a coal facility replaced with wind and natural gas. And what they were seeing with that existing coal facility, although they aren't using it all that much and had decided because of some of the MATS, the cost of updating it with the MATS regulation was high, and it's a really pretty old plant, that it made most sense to retire it in 21, and it was really being run only at certain times. So it wasn't being run like a baseload facility, which is to run all day long at the maximum potential. And so it was coming online more sporadically using more, they call that a capacity resource, where you need the extra power for a shorter amount of time. That's not an efficient way to run a coal facility. It costs a lot, and it's hard on the facilities. But that's because of the pricing of the coal in the market today and compared to the others. That's when it was being called on. And so it wasn't the greatest use for that resource. And replacing it with this combination, wind and natural gas, the company testified that it allows them to capture the very attractive wind prices in this region and the wind resource and back it up with something that is dispatchable, meaning they can bring it online and it can be at its nameplate capacity within probably 10 minutes. And so that's the combination that the company determined through its analysis and through its various theory or modeling was the most cost-effective and best alternative for replacing the Hoot Lake plant and addressing some of the capacity needs that they were purchasing on the market long-term. And so they believe this is the best way to serve the needs of their customers long-term at the lowest possible cost. And it does definitely signal an ongoing trend in the electricity market, which is renewables being dispatched at their maximum and backed up by the fossil fuels. Largely, the natural gas is being the fuel of choice in the market right now.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
Mr. Chairman, I meant to mention this at the beginning, and I forgot. I apologize, but we're going to withdraw this motion today. The parties to this case filed a fair number of different items this week, even. There was some back and forth, and although none of it is real controversial and the interveners aren't opposing the project, they're supporting the project, there was just enough information filed that one of the commissioners wanted additional time to review that information and make sure that it's being addressed properly in the order, and so we're going to withhold this until the next meeting.
No apology necessary. We want to get them right. Thank you. So that concludes our regular agenda. A couple of announcements here. Our next meeting, just like this one, is not going to fall on Wednesday like we normally come to expect. So emphasize the next meeting, next regular meeting, is Thursday, November 16th at 10 o'clock here. And subsequent to that, on November 20th, at 11 o'clock, down in Allendale at the Fireside Restaurant, we'll have a formal hearing on case number PU-17-284. That's the Foxtail Wind Project. And I think everything beyond that is either real normal business or way out into the future. So just remember the next meeting is the Thursday, not the Wednesday. So that concludes my announcements. We will stand in recess to take some questions from the press, followed by a short break, and then we'll reconvene for the administrative part of the agenda.
Well, based on the withdrawal of that order and certificate on citing, delaying just a couple of weeks, you think?
Right.
Did they want to break ground on that?
I believe I'd have to look at that. I think this was one that was down the road a bit. They're still working on the interconnection agreement with MISO and stuff, so they weren't, you know, waiting to get to turn dirt this year.
And just a reminder, Maricourt is also in southern tier of North Dakota?
It is. It's by Allendale. Right. No, Ashley.
Ashley.
Yeah. Ashley, yeah.
As far as the Astoria project, was this the last approval that the PSC would have to give to that?
Yes, I believe so.
And the Maricourt project, the item that was withdrawn, that's the same project that you just discussed in this, giving the ADP and public necessity.
Yes, correct.
Okay, so that one still needs a final, I mean, it still needs the siting application.
Approved. Correct,
okay.
Correct.
Okay. Okay, yeah. That's
all I got. Speaking of Otter Tail, have you seen the rate increase request?
Yes.
I know it's very early, but when's the last time Otter Tail had asked for a rate?
It's been almost 10 years since they've requested a rate increase on service. So this is a sizable ask, a sizable increase that they're proposing. Just looked at some quick numbers. It just came in yesterday, but you may have seen the release. An average residential customer's bill would increase by $11.50, and the way they state it, some will actually be more, some will be less. So I don't know what the range is yet, but on average $11.50 for residential and then business customers approximately $22. So they're looking for $13.1 million, and that would be an 8.7% increase overall. So it's definitely a sizable request in terms of the amount that they're seeking from customers, and as always, take a very close look at the reasoning behind it and scrutinize it and work with advisory staff as well.
Did the size of it surprise you, though, then?
I think when you see a number that big, it's hard not to be a little bit surprised, but it's premature to formulate an opinion until really digging into the overall numbers to see what's the rationale, why are they asking for that type of an increase. And it has to be more than just the fact that it's been over a decade. I don't think the time frame necessarily, it's been a while, no doubt about that, but it really depends on, you know, how they were positioned after the last increase. But Otter Tail Power typically has some of the lower rates.
I believe in the release they said something about more pollution control equipment at Big Stone. Is that your opinion, too?
Correct. And you're seeing this in just a number of instances, whether it's pollution control equipment, whether it's renewable mandates. It's having an impact on consumer rates. And North Dakota, of course, does not have a renewable mandate. We have a renewable target. I believe that's 10%, but Minnesota has a pretty aggressive renewable mandate in place. And while that doesn't spill over to North Dakota ratepayers, it all factors into a company's operating expense.
I just want to be clear. It sounded like both the AmeriCorps project and the Astoria project kind of combined were meant to replace the Hoot Lake plant.
That is correct, right. One thing that, and Commissioner Fedorchuk, I believe, said it when she was talking, that this is the facility being retired is just, I believe, producing just over 100 megawatts, right around 100 megawatts. Combined, of course, this is when the wind blows, and if it's at full capacity on the wind side, if the gas is at full capacity, or full generation for both, you're talking 250 on the gas side, 150 megawatts on the wind side. So, and as she stated, it's to avoid making purchases on from MISO and to generate themselves. So, it's definitely a larger generating units than in terms of what they're replacing.
Now the one, and I would add, some of the readers and listeners might not be aware, when we talk about these projects replacing that Hoot Lake plant, the Hoot Lake plant is a Minnesota power plant burning subbituminous coal from Wyoming or Montana, not North Dakota coal, and it's not a North Dakota plant. So just for people's perspective.
That is a great point. One thing that we have seen, and it impacted Stanton Station as well, and you could argue that it's spillover from when a lot of oil was being shipped on by rail, but anything from grain cars on rail, moving coal, rates increased, and it's not just the price of coal, but it's getting it to the plants, and that you know, moving from the Powder River Basin over to Hoot Lake is quite a stretch. So that puts them at a disadvantage in comparison to a mine mouth plant.
Now, the $181.5 million, was that just for the Astoria?
Yes, that's not the complete project, so I just want to make sure that that's not Maricourt. That's Astoria, I believe.
Do you have a rough figure? I'm just too lazy to look it up, I guess.
On the gas plant?
No, on Maricourt.
A rough figure of, the cost. I would, you know what, I will dig that up for you here pretty quick. And Brian Kalk gave me a great tip. He said, well, just say, I bet John's listening, and maybe John can get that number for us really quick.
There was also one item on your consent agenda that kind of struck my eye. It was CJF1, Sandpiper Construction Inspection Contract Extension.
Yes.
Can you explain, because Sandpiper's still on hold, right?
Right, it is. And one of your fellow colleagues in the media asked about this, too, so I actually have a lot of information on why. So the Sandpiper project is on hold. What happened with that project is they did some preliminary construction on the terminals, and shortly after we permitted, they received the permit, they got to work on some of the terminals so that they could get an advance on the project as a whole, and so while the construction on the terminals has ceased and they aren't going to complete those either, there is some reclamation work that needs to be done on those, and they did, you know, remove topsoil and subsoil and that type of thing. And so in order to do those inspections next spring, which is when will be the right time to inspect, we needed to extend that contract because it was a 24-month contract and it's over this month. So, but it'll just be for that pretty modest amount of construction that was done on the terminals.
Good. Okay, right. We'll reconvene in about 5 minutes.